News from NPR is made possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 2nd, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And Harry Cooney will join us closer to the bottom of the hour with a brand new weekly segment. We'll take up the energy markets. Dave Dickey will have all the details of the agricultural news stories for the day shortly, and then we'll hear commentary from the Farm Bureau. Oh, don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat at $9.22.5, down the 30-cent limit. Their settlement price once again at $9.22.5, the high at 38, the low at 22.5. March contract at 30 lower, down the limit with a high price of 9.46 and a settlement at 9.30.5. December corn futures were down 20 today, 3.48¾ the settlement, off 20 cents, 3.60¼ the settlement price. March contract down at 3.65½, and their settlement price 20 lower, the high price at 3.77. May contract in the corn, 3.75 the settlement, down 20 cents, 3.86¾ was the low for their high for the day. In December, futures had a high for next year of 4.06, their low 20 lower. That was the settlement price as well at $3.95½. November beans not quite down the limit today, 9.43¾ the settlement price, down 47¾, the high at 73. January futures had a high of 9.90, their low at 60, and a settlement price at 9.62, down 47½. March contract at 9.73¼, settlement price down 47, the high at 10.01, the low at 72½, and November next year, 22½ cents lower today. 9.45½, the settlement price, the high at 53½, the low at $9.40. October bean meal down $15.90. Their settlement, 262.90, the high at 273, the low at 262. Even October bean oil, 38.03, down $1.02, 38.50, the high, the low at 37.50. From the Mercantile Exchange, October feeder cattle finished at 85 higher, 115.92½, the settlement price. November's up 72½ at 115.67½. October live cattle, 50 cents lower, 95.72½, the settlement price. In December futures, 97.97½. We're down 62½ for the day. And the lean hogs finished at $58.20. They were a nickel higher on the afternoon. Taking a look at the outside markets, November crude oil, $80.08, down 16 for the day. The dollar at 78.30, down 3, or rather up 3.68. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now off just about 40 points. They're down 40 at 14,047 for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we've been waiting, I suppose, because it's been an awfully good harvest season for the corn market. And then today it all came to fruition. Rough day in Chicago. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that wanted to use the Sparks numbers. Not Sparks, I'm going to FC Stone. I'm sorry, Todd. The FC Stone numbers that were put out yesterday afternoon after the close, the 157.4 yield and the 43 yield on the beans. But if you were around at last night's open, those figures were available, and we were not down or down hard until later in the evening when the dollar seemed to start rallying and the gold seemed to be selling off, Todd. So in the overnight, we come in this morning, sharply lower in the corn and the beans because of the dollar sell-off, or dollar gain, not the sell-off. The dollar has been selling off, but was gaining a little strength. You know, in the opening calls this morning, were beans down about 10, corn 6 to 7, and wheat 5 to 7. And then we, of course, had the electronic problems at the Board of Trade, and they delayed the opening for an hour. And I think that even exaggerated things further, as without Chicago trading, Kansas City and Minneapolis wheat pulled a little lower than what the opening range was expected, and the dollar continuing to stay strong, gold down around $20 at that point in time, and crude was down a dollar at that point in time. Why we hit run stops today, and then along with the better yields in the USDA that come out of FC Stone, we saw a lot of funds running to the doorway.
They were running for the door. Let's go through the FC Stone numbers very quickly. They say yield in Illinois is at 182, corn in Iowa at 183, beans in Iowa at 51.5, beans in Illinois at 47. Their Minnesota numbers at
42 on the beans, 158 on the corn, I think, Todd, here.
Yeah, indeed they are. So we ended up with a 157.5 yield for the FC Stone number nationwide, 43 on the beans, as you already reported. But that was just sort of the beginning of the tumble early or late last night. And then it was all about the wheat and the delay this morning and the opening of the board. You really think that's the case?
Well, I think that's what part of it is. A lot of times you exaggerate things along the way whenever you either have it. Either take some of the exaggeration out or you add some to it. And I think along today with it, a lot of the people that might have been buyers decided to sit back and see how the opening went. And it went a little harder than thought at first. And then we started running into stops and going through technical points. The funds this morning sold somewhere around 15,000 to 16,000 contracts of beans, 17,000 to 18,000 contracts of corn, 8,000 to 10,000 contracts of wheat. And, of course, those numbers are somewhat inaccurate because a lot of stuff was done on the electronic side, and we can't say for sure, but those are pretty round estimates of some pretty big numbers. We also had that beginning of the month and the quarter, a lot of times we see index fund buying. That didn't happen yesterday, and of course it didn't happen today. We probably would have or could have seen a little bit of Chinese buying, but they're on holiday right now, so what little buying that orders that were left in there wasn't quite what would have been enough to hold this market up. So the demand picture wasn't coming in, or the commercials weren't buying. And as we've heard from our different customers out there, there hadn't been lines at a lot of the terminals up until about yesterday. And we're hearing around the country now that the lines really started developing and farmers started going to the terminals, local country elevators and that, and pretty much in big form starting yesterday and today. And I think that's why another reason that we probably did see some commercial hedging out of this.
Was there any discussion about the closure of the Board of Trade for that hour? Did it, and you mentioned it, but maybe you could flesh this out a bit more for me. Did it cause the index funds to take, or somebody to push against the index funds, I suppose, in Minneapolis and in Kansas City? And did that topple things out?
I don't know that anything that way happened. I think that just a lot of times, had we opened on time and not had problems, that we would see some things happen. You know, whenever there's turmoil or something's wrong, it generally isn't a positive thing. It generally pulls against a little bit. But, that wasn't the main reason of why we were down today. We were down, we were oversold. We'd backed up. We were starting to see grain movement. We're talk of larger production. And also the Egypt tender went to Russia because of the freight advantage. And I think that we're going to look at most of the tenders in the near term for wheat are probably going to stay there because of the gigantic freight advantage. And we sort of priced ourselves out of the market along with the freight valuations, Todd, as far as the wheat. So, you know, the wheat was getting a little toppy compared to other countries, and we were losing some of the tenders there.
What did the synthetics show, and is there much fear about tonight's trade and tomorrow's?
You know, I think they weren't drastic by any means. We were talking 3 to 4 cents, I think, in most of the synthetics towards the end of the day. We did break through some technical points here, and, you'd have to say it was a very, very weak close. And as we look at things, it looks the CRB, with silver falling, with gold falling, There's people are talking about a cyclical top forming the CRB, and talk of a sideways to lower trade into the end of the year. So basically, this is the time period into the middle of October where we generally trend sideways to down. We've been at some pretty lofty heights. You know, even when we closed today, Todd, that December wheat still says 922 on my screen. And how many times we said 9 when we're talking about wheat for the first number we use.
Indeed. Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
I think, like I say, I think that as we go down here, we're going to see farmers tighten up on what they are willing to sell, probably say storage or DP a little more along the lines. But we are looking at a tremendously large corn crop coming in. It just does seem to be getting bigger.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
And that's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens on Tuesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Sola forecast for Illinois and Indiana tonight says in the north and western parts of Illinois, it'll be mostly cloudy with some showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere in Illinois and in northern and western Indiana, mostly cloudy. Showers and thunderstorms arriving after midnight in southeastern Indiana, partly cloudy. Lows will range from around 50 in the far northwestern Illinois to 66 in the far south this evening. Tomorrow in northwestern and west central Illinois, partly to mostly sunny in northeastern and central Illinois and in the northwestern parts of Indiana, mostly cloudy. Some scattered showers early, then becoming partly to mostly sunny. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow from 73 in the north to 83 in the far southern part of Indiana. Dave Dickey is here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Farm Bill and Connected Finances keeps getting pushed later into the year. Wednesday's Senate Finance hearing on Farm Bill spending issues has been delayed until at least Thursday, making it more likely that the Agriculture Committee markup of the Farm Bill will not happen till mid-October. South Dakota Senator John Thune says there is growing concern over Senate Ag Committee Chairman Tom Harkin's plan to cut direct payments.
A lot of us from particularly the upper Midwest who have real concerns about what he's put down so far in terms of some of the proposals he got out there. That's one of them. And we think that there are some amendments that we can offer that hopefully will keep that from happening. There are several different options out there in terms of direct payments. And, of course, it's very important to the wheat growers, the row crop growers, soybean and corn, not as much, but still, we don't want to see those program payments robbed and used to fund other parts of the program.
Congress takes a week-long recess next week due to Columbus Day. A U.S. government report says a challenge by Brazil, if successful, could show the U.S. exceeded WTO limits on farm subsidies in four recent years. The Congressional Research Service report says that if direct payments, considered non-trade distorting by the U.S., were reclassified as trade distorting by the WTO, spending would have been over limits in 1999, 2000, 2005, and 2006. And Mascoma Corporation at the University of Tennessee plan to jointly build the country's first ethanol plant that uses switchgrass as feedstock. The plan is to operate a 5 million gallon per year demonstration facility in Monroe County between Knoxville and Chattanooga. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. Well, USDA released the September 30th crop progress report yesterday. It shows 29% of the soybeans have been harvested nationwide. That's about 5 points ahead of the five-year rolling average. Louisiana and Mississippi lead the pack. at 65% of the way done. Illinois farmers have harvested 43% of their bean crop, Iowa 35%, and Indiana 26%. Once those soybeans are off the field, it marks the sowing season for the soft red winter wheat crop in the Midwest. Illinois farmers have run the drill over about 15% of the intended acres so far, and Indiana 12%. Ohio has put 14% of its winter wheat crop into the ground. That takes care of the soft red east of the Mississippi River. Nationwide, all winter wheat plantings stand at 42%, 7 points short of last year's pace and 9% behind the five-year rolling average. Wheat emerged is lagging behind just about that far, too, at 16%. 91% of the U.S. corn crop is mature. Indiana and Nebraska are the laggards there of the big five, both pulling down the nationwide average at 88% ready to harvest. Speaking of which, USDA says the corn farmer is moving along rapidly in the top five, even Nebraska and Indiana, despite that slower pace overall. The five top corn-producing states combined are about 8% ahead of schedule, which jives with the nationwide harvested number of about one-third of the way complete. It is actually 31% and is 11 points ahead of the rolling five-year average for harvested acreage. If you'd like to hear what the statisticians in the five top corn-producing states in the nation have to say, you can do that online. Just visit willag.org and click on the Market Analysis audio section. Up next, in today's Listener Opinion Forum, Champaign County Farm Bureau's Kirk Biltis says harvest season is football season.
The fall season has long been the favorite time of year for many across East Central Illinois. Harvest is in full swing. Leaves are falling from trees while apples and pumpkins are ripe and ready for picking. And football season is upon us. Yes, Mother Nature has blessed us with a plentiful harvest of the fruits of our labor, and great weather to celebrate a year's worth of hard work as we watch football under the Friday night lights. Saturdays and Sundays are spent watching our favorite collegiate or professional teams take the field, all while we continue to enjoy the agricultural products produced in our own backyard. In our area, you can find corn, soybeans, and livestock growing around every corner. You can also find these locally grown commodities on the football field, or at your tailgate party before the big game. Some elements are easy to locate, such as the pork and beef on your tailgate grill, or the peanuts and popcorn purchased at halftime. Cool off with a Coke or Pepsi containing high fructose corn syrup, and you're drinking a product found in many area fields. Cheerleaders apply makeup and hairspray made from ag products, and fans dress in cotton shirts displaying their school's colors and letters as they prepare to cheer on their team. Footballs and tennis shoes are made of leather from a cow's hide, while the shoulder pads and helmets that keep players safe are partially made from gelatins and fats found in hogs. After the game, sweaty football players apply deodorant containing cornstarch before traveling home in a large bus powered by soy biodiesel. Agriculture is all around us. However, to many, it is inconceivable just how much it is found in the game of football. Whether you are a player, a cheerleader, or a face in the crowd, we all take part in enjoying the agricultural products grown across our region. As you drive to the big game this weekend, I ask you to consider your part in the agricultural world. It might just surprise you how much you depend on the work our farmers are doing. When you arrive at the game, celebrate agriculture's role in the day. As you travel home, even if the school board doesn't find your team victorious, be sure and stop to fill your car's gas tank with ethanol-blended gasoline. And remember why you were able to enjoy a day at the stadium. From the Champaign County Farm Bureau, I'm Kirk Biltis.
Kirk Biltis' comments are his own and reflect his opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just call us at 217-333-0850.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Spend more time harvesting and less time pledging. WillPledge.org.
Time now for our first and premiere of the energy segment here on WILL AM 580 Ag Radio. Harry Cooney of GrowMark joins us this afternoon from his office in Bloomington. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You know, maybe you should start out by telling us just exactly what you do.
Well, I work in the Gromark home office over here in Bloomington, and we work with our member cooperatives like Illini FS, for example, and we hedge the fuel needs for them, and of course they're hedging the fuel needs for their end users. We do a lot in gasoline and heating oil, the diesel fuel, and several hundred million gallons of propane a year also. So those are the main markets we trade in. We also work some in the natural gas arena. Natural gas has been a star performer here, or people watching it a lot, especially given the fact of the tie-in to ammonia prices here in the past several years. So that's that keeps us busy over here.
I understand that you are a technical trader, or at least you watch the charts to some extent?
Exactly right. I've been watching the charts since about 1982 and just kind of fell in love with them. And once you get attached to them, it's just kind of hard to get away from them, that's for sure.
We talk a great deal about the techs here on the radio station day in and day out with the ag, so maybe we should start in that area. Do you want to talk about the spread technically between the RBOB, which I think represents the gasoline, and maybe you can tell us that,
right,
and the crude oil, as well as what we've seen in the ethanol, and they've been going in different directions.
Well, that's right. The ethanol price has been real cheap. I think the other day I saw where there had been approximately 30 new plants of ethanol coming online this year, and many more at least on the drawing books for next year to come online. And it appears that some of the supply has overwhelmed some of the demand here in the near term, and ethanol prices have continued to sell off here in the past several months at a time when gasoline prices have continued to rally, and gasoline prices have sold off here in the past month or two, but overall have still far outpaced the price of ethanol, and making some of the people looking at ethanol plants go back to the drawing board and make sure their numbers are right. The other spread that we're watching, looking at spreads, is the one between gasoline and heating oil. And gasoline right now is at about a 20-cent discount to the heating oil market. In the last several years, we've looked back at the history, and this is about where you bottom out the price spread between gasoline and heating oil, at about 20 cents under heating oil here. And so we might start finding some support in gasoline prices here now, at least versus the heating oil market.
Can you tell me, I read this morning a news story talking about the July imports of ethanol into the United States. How much of a problem has that been for the ethanol producers? It appears that imports surged in the month of July 44.2%, or about 1.526 million barrels.
Well, I think that you combine that. I don't have the exact numbers on imports. Sounds like you have them there, and sounds like you have some accurate numbers. But it's just that when you put that together with these roughly 30 new plants coming online, and could be a few more, a few less than 30, but when you put the imports together with that additional production, it appears we've just kind of outdone the demand here with this additional supply, and it tells us that when our price is so cheap here, it's allowed those imports to come in, because, of course, the energy complex, as a lot of the other markets, is just such a worldwide traded market. Wherever it's the cheapest, the product will move to. And so that's what's allowing those imports to come in, because we're so cheap here in the U.S. Over time, it would be surprising that we would stay this cheap. And, in fact, I'd be surprised a year from now if our ethanol prices are as cheap as they are right now. But for the time being, we've got a real weak market in ethanol.
Can you tell me, as we close out, and we have just maybe a minute left, to discuss natural gas and the price of nitrogen?
Right. Natural gas is a large component in the production of nitrogen, and one futures contract of natural gas equates into about 295 tons of ammonia. Now, what's happened there recently is the ammonia price, seems like our agronomy guys have told us the ammonia price has shot up dramatically, and natural gas has stayed quite cheap. Now we're just finally starting to see some rallies in the natural gas market here, and it looks like on the charts especially that we're starting to break out to the upside, and it's bullish for natural gas here in the coming weeks.
And I would think that would not be good for the price of anhydrous ammonia.
Probably not going to help it at all, even though it's already, they say, pretty high. It's definitely not going to help it.
All right.
We're trading natural gas at the highest level since June.
We appreciate you being with us, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Thanks much. That's Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark, and he trades energies for them. Premiering our first energy segment here on Tuesdays. It'll return next Tuesday and every Tuesday thereafter. We hope you enjoyed the segment. Let us know if that's the case. You can call us at 30850. That's 333-0850. Or just visit our website, willag.org, and drop us an email. In 2 minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's now time for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The Illinois House has voted to overturn some of Governor Rob Blagojevich's budget cuts. This afternoon, the House voted 104-4 to restore some of the more than $460 million in vetoes that Blagojevich made to the budget in what he called wasteful and unnecessary spending. Both Democratic and Republican lawmakers blasted the governor for cutting money for developmental disability workers, veterans' homes, colleges, and social service advocates. They plan to override many more of the governor's vetoes yet today, although some cuts won't be overturned. But the House vote could be moot ultimately. It heads over to the Senate now, where President Emil Jones has vowed to block any effort to overturn the cuts. Teachers in the Monticello School District meet tonight to vote on a contract agreement reached last night. The 150 teachers, cooks, custodians, and other employees have been without a contract since July, and last week they had approved an intent to strike notice without any progress in negotiations. Those talks ended in the tentative agreement last night. The Monticello School Board is set to vote on the agreement in 2 weeks. City Council members in Urbana have tabled a proposal to let neighborhoods set up conservation districts. The districts would let neighbors govern new construction and design guidelines to preserve the character of their areas. But some worry that a minority of neighbors could set up a special district and create disharmony. However, the proposal sponsor says any proposal would still undergo city review. Urbana may wait a little more before naming a new citizen police review board. One alderman says nobody from his ward applied for the 7-member board before last weekend's deadline. But Brandon Bowersock says having at least one member from each ward was only a wish and not a requirement for the board, which would review complaints against police. Indiana Congresswoman Julia Carson has been granted an extension of her leave of absence from Congress until October 15th. Carson is recuperating from a leg infection. The 69-year-old Democrat from Indianapolis was admitted to a hospital in her hometown back on September 21st. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the harvest weather.
Well, harvest weather, at least in the short term, is not looking bad at all. But down the road a ways, as we get into the weekend and early next week, we're going to have some concerns. But right now, for the rest of the week and into the weekend, there's this one little bump in the road, and that's going to be in the short term, with a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and tonight across some areas of the northern and western Corn Belt, including our neck of the woods here. But for tomorrow, for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we've got good harvest weather with temperatures actually well above normal.
How far is well above normal?
Well, we're talking as much as 10 to 15 degrees in some areas. We're looking at highs mid to upper 80s Thursday, Friday, and into the start of the weekend.
And after that?
Cooling down and getting wet. There's going to be a pretty vigorous storm that may actually grab some news headlines this weekend coming out of the northern Rockies, and it's going to bring a wedge of moisture and colder air into the Corn Belt and Midwest towards the early to middle portions of next week. So there's going to likely be a big drop-off in temperature starting Sunday, but most noticeably Monday and Tuesday, and a period of showers and thunderstorms. We're a little bit too far outside to talk about amounts, but there might be some harvest slowdowns early next week with that cooler, wet weather. There's going to be a pretty strong storm, probably centering itself over the Dakotas and Minnesota by early next week.
What's your view of the planting season in South America?
Well, they could use some more moisture. It's been a little bit skimpy lately, and conditions in many areas of South America are still looking a little bit on the dry side. The exception will be Argentina. That's got some showers in the forecast here for the next few days. Brazil has some chances for moisture, but not until early next week. So they could use some more moisture.
And then Australia, always looking for a little moisture. Will they get any?
Boy, that's been the reoccurring theme. And while there will be some of the central and eastern areas of Australia that have some moisture, it doesn't look like it's going to be a lot. So they're still looking for some. They're going to get a little bit, but not enough to really help out a lot.
Thanks much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
That's Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report every Tuesday afternoon. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis and weather reports right there on the World Wide Web. Just go to willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.